This is an interview with Beverly Fleming for the SEC Historical Society's Virtual Museum and Archive of the History of Financial Regulation. I'm William Thomas. The date is November 12th, 2013, and we're in Sarasota, Florida. So thanks very much for talking with us today. We usually begin by talking a little bit about your personal background. I understand you're from Florida, is that right?
Yes, I'm a Floridian. I grew up on Boca Grande, which is on Gasparilla Island, just south of Sarasota.
Okay, so tell me a little bit. You sent us along a bio, but for the sake of the recording, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you developed your career over time? I understand you didn't start out at the SEC.
No, I didn't. I started right after high school, in fact. Started working in offices. I had an aunt that hired me to help her in her office, and this was a beginning of a career that involved more office work, dealing with the public, and I worked with Yarnell Warehouse here in Sarasota as a little office manager, and it just started going from there, and then we moved to Maryland in 69. And then...
Why did you go to Maryland?
Well, my husband at the time was transferred up there.
Okay.
And more opportunities and so forth. And anyway, I started to work... Well, I worked with a ladies' dress shop, Nat Lewis, in Maryland. And they opened a store in Frederick, Maryland. And I went up there and helped them open it, doing the hiring and setting up. And so I was manager there for about a year. And so then we moved to Maryland. And so it was an exciting time because I'd never been that close to D.C. And it was such a magnet, you know, to be a part of. And I started in 1973. I applied for a job, and I was hired as a clerk typist, grade 3. And so I worked with Division of Investment Management, Enforcement first, and Stanley Sporkin was the director at the time. And so I determined that I wanted to get out of the clerical field. I wanted to do more administrative work. And I took a class in business administration to further my knowledge in advancing. But I had done so many different jobs that I did a model for a while, managing the dress shop store in Frederick. And then I started ballroom dancing. So I was trying to fill my life as much as possible with what I enjoy doing. And with my husband and I had divorced. And so I just went ahead and pursued my work at the SEC and try to advance and learn as much as I could. I've enjoyed trying different things because it does build on your confidence, self-confidence. And so I worked enforcement, and my art also took a big leap at the SEC because of the opportunity that some of the directors, persons in the commission all over, is that I started hanging my art in different places. And then we had
At the SEC.
Stan Sporkin told me to have facilities come and take the posters down that were in his outer office and wanted me to put my paintings here. So I did that. And then taking commission work, and it just grew. And then we went to the crafters and the artist met there were quite a few of us there at the SEC, and we asked the commissioners, could we have an art show and have it in the conference room, commissioners' conference room. And they were all for it. They were great. They said, by all means, we'd try it. And we did it for a couple of years, twice a year. And then, of course, that was, you know, my start in that, so I could work with that along with my job at the SEC. But I began to search for different jobs that I would be interested in and make sure that I had the experience. And I took shorthand so I could apply for a steno job. So I got that, and then I applied for the administrative aides position, and I was selected for that in enforcement. And then we moved to offices, and I was responsible with helping set up the move to a new building. And so we went over to Fifth and E, is what it was. And from there, I was approached by the director of personnel and asked if I would be interested in going up to investment management and filling in, because the administrative assistant there had become ill and she was not able to be at work for a while. So as it worked out, she didn't return back to her job, and she was moving out of town. So Kathy McGrath was the director at that time, and Kathy was a wonderful leader, a wonderful director. And that you knew you had to do your job, you knew you made it known that you were there for her. And I was very proud to be her administrative assistant. And so I went there and worked. And then when the other administrative assistant said she was not coming back, then Kathy told me to post the position. So I did, and of course then we went through the interviews, and there was several interviewed. And then I was chosen to take that over. And it was such a wonderful experience. You meet so many different people. There were more accountants and lawyers. Of course, there's always lawyers in enforcement. We had them there too. And you just form a bond with these divisions because of the work that it entailed. And it was important.
Could you describe the work a little bit?
In what I did?
Yes.
Well, I did, I helped setting up interviews. This was as an administrative assistant, and an officer became administrative officer, that I worked with personnel, setting up interviews for the division to hire attorneys and accountants. And then I oversaw the secretaries to make sure they were happy in their job, they were contributing. And they came to me, the secretaries, in investment management. And they were very upset because they felt like they were considered just not that important. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have much of a say. And they just didn't feel good that nobody really cared about them. So I talked to them about, what do you think about that? I talked to the director and see if we can set a time that we can meet. I would like to meet with all of the secretaries in a conference room. I wanted to give them a good feeling about their job, that they weren't there just to be tied to their typewriter or filing. They needed to feel important, which they were very important. So they thought that was exciting. So we did that, and I think that boosted the morale of the secretaries, that they did matter other than being at their desk all day. And so we worked on that, and I really felt good that they would come to me with some of their issues and dealings, and I tried to help with this in the training and personnel. They would offer workshops or things, and I helped. Well, and I oversaw all of the paperwork for personnel from the division to have the papers done, signed, and they could participate in these different workshops and programs. And I worked closely with the travel budget. And when I was in enforcement, they started developing a new system of travel and money. And so I worked with the chief counsel's office, and I've tried to remember the man's name, and it's he and I worked together to develop this travel budget for the enforcement. And so I handled that, and I worked with the personnel and filling out travel vouchers and submitting their travel expenses and filling out forms. But there was such a variety of things that it made it challenging for me. And yet I could learn from them also. But investment management, we moved to another building, or another floor. We put up on the 10th floor. And so,
when did you move there?
Oh, I'm trying to remember now. In 95, I retired.
And you went there originally in 73 to the SEC.
Yeah, so I was there 22 years. And then I thought after 22 years, I would come back home to Florida and retire. So, what was your question?
Just when you went over to investment management.
Okay, we moved, and I worked with the facilities to have all of the rooms designed. So, you know, made sure that all the employees filled out their room layout, everything had to fit, working with the telephone situation. We had a new telephone system come in, which I had to work through learning that and then helping to develop it within the division. And there were so many things that you're busy. And then I worked with the awards. So I worked with the managers, directors, associate directors, and so forth, in making sure all of the award papers were submitted, and saw that that was done properly, and submitted to personnel and the director and everyone involved. And I was able to, when I wanted to become an administrative officer, I wanted to further my knowledge. And the SEC approved my going to some classes on administrative administration, business administration. And so I did go to the high school in my town. I lived in Laurel at the time, Laurel, Maryland. So I went to those classes, which helped me further my knowledge and secured me in knowing I could do it. And that was an opportunity that I think the SEC did that helped me along and many others to pay for these classes or workshops that would help their employee to grow and do better and know their job.
You think that was unusual at the time?
Well, I had not worked in a government agency before, and I had not been exposed to much of that. But I thought it was unusual. And I was surprised that I was able to do these things, and they approved them. And that was what happened, you know, why I decided I wanted to continue. SEC was a smaller agency, and then, you know, DOE and all these huge agencies, to where it was a more close-knit people. You interacted with most of them at all, any time. And we had a good relationship with other divisions. We had our softball league. We'd go play softball. And I think it just gave the employees, I know it gave me, a sense of belonging and knowing that they do look after you. You've got to work hard. You must keep on your toes and learn things and new things. And the opportunity was there for us. And all we had to do was ask or go to personnel or different places and find out what's being offered. So I, when I went up to investment management, that was in, 86, something like that. I was in enforcement about 10 years or so. And then I went to investment management in 96, I think it was. And so that's
86.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I retired. I retired at a 12-step 5. And I was so excited that I could have my career there for as long as I did, and able to meet, have the friends and the working with the different offices. They, the Securities and Exchange Commission is, I think, one of the finest agencies in the way that they work and work with their employees, and the work that we did. Is very important. And did you want to ask me any questions? Or?
Sure. I'm interested kind of in the office culture, I suppose. I mean, you mentioned there were people who were interested in art, and there were there was a softball league. Was it the case that office staff and some of the lawyers and the accountants would all be involved in that?
Oh,
or was it mainly in the
staff?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was because we'd go over to Anacostia, to the ball field, after work, and the whole division, investment management. And we went over and had our ball, played ball, and then we had pizza delivered by this little truck. We could see this truck coming. But no, it was a camaraderie among the staff that everybody was welcome to be a part of. Not everybody played, but we enjoyed it. And there was a lot of interaction with the professionals and the clerical staff, in that I think all of them there were there for each other and to have this bond. And then when we had the arts and crafts show, it was like, well, with my painting and then some of the other people that were crafters, we decided we would really like to have the show. And that pulled everybody together. There were professionals in there and the staff showing their artwork and crafts. And for the commissioners to approve that was incredible, because it was a wonderful thing. And everybody in the commission, you know, would be there at one time or other to see what there was and to see that the different talents in the different arts and crafts. And so we, like I said, we did that a couple of years. Can we break them? I need
it. Absolutely.
And everything, yeah. But anyway, we had a big success with it, and the commissioners were delighted and to have something like that the employees could do and everybody enjoy. So we did that for a couple of years.
So one of the things that we're interested in is the place of women at in the SEC. And so I imagine that most of the office staff were probably women at that time.
There were quite a few women. I'm not sure whether it was equal or not, but it was pretty close with as many women as men. And we had a lot of female attorneys, accountants, secretaries, you know, a variety in every office. Personnel had a lot of female personnel. I think our opportunities were good with the SEC. And my daughter also was with the government. She was with the Department of Energy. And so she was given a lot of opportunities also to advance. But the SEC, I think, recruited, especially servicemen when they came out. We gave them the first opportunity or finding jobs and so forth. And so I thought it to be a very good organization or business. I know the government was putting out guidelines to hire veterans or military when they come back, when they came back. And we had lots of secretaries there were male secretaries. And so there was a good mix and opportunities for most anyone that was interested in coming. And the SEC embraced it, you know, with no qualms about gender or anything. We did take a class or program on, I've got to think of the word, harassment, sexual right. harassment. And so the SEC, we set up a program that all the employees were to go, so that there would not be any instances of harassment, where everybody understood what it meant and what it entailed.
Was this earlier or later on while you were there?
This was, I think, later on, because I think I was with investment management. So this was something fairly new, and you had to go, you had to sign in, and it was mandatory. And so we did that, and we had, I'm trying to think what other programs we did. But there was always, you know, the changing of rules developing new guidelines. And anyway, I guess I was with investment management when I had the most ability to lead and be. I had a position where I did a lot of important things in the housekeeping department, or whatever I want to say, the setting up appointments, interviewing. I would interview secretaries, and I took care of the making sure travel and different forms were done properly.
Was there a lot of travel in the office? I would imagine investigations and so forth.
Oh, yes, a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there would be different accountants and attorneys and going out and appearing at hearings or other offices, meeting and having workshops for them or meetings to develop new things. And also they had a trip to get away and mingle with everyone in a relaxed way, but then working also. So it was a lot of travel.
Was it difficult to schedule it all in, or was it pretty manageable, would you say?
Oh, no, it was manageable. Yeah. Everybody knew what they were to do, and I made sure that, I guess, all the forms were signed properly and everything, but it was something that was very important because, it's, you know, you have to account for all your expenses and travel. And then we also had some counseling on regulations and travel and filling out forms and certain things that you couldn't, well, that you couldn't put against your travel expenses. And the secretaries pretty much put them together and we handled it. So that was a learning experience with dealing with that, because it can get very complicated. And in fact, one time the secretary for the director or the commissioner, director, yeah, she was having a problem. So they asked me to go up and help her with his travel. But it was a very important part, and everybody knew it was important to do these things properly, and it's what we had to do.
Was there any particular sense of, because you were at the SEC, which manages the disclosures of other companies and so forth, that it was especially important to avoid embarrassment on those issues?
Oh, definitely, yes. Yeah. And we had our offices that wouldn't talk to anyone. You know, they were working on something. They did not want any phone calls. And I would get calls every now and then to my office asking me, could I please get a message to this person or that person they need to talk to? And I said, sir, you have to call his office or her office. I don't handle those. But they are kind of closed off now. They're working, and they will receive your call. They will return your call as soon as possible. And they, you have to deal diplomatically with the public, because, you know, public don't, they don't understand sometimes that there is protocol. There are times that you can't speak to someone, and so you have to deal with trying to with the, that I had to deal with the public to let them know that there are certain times that they can't take calls. And I think it was on a particular matter anyway. And people were just trying to go around the system. But you do have to protect and make sure that rules are followed, or and you don't just talk to the public and just say whatever, you know. You don't talk a lot about a lot of things. But it... it was exciting for me, I guess, and in dealing with so many professionals that I had not had that experience before when I first started working with all of them. And they each have their own part. And so there are a lot of things you have to consider in speaking to people when they come in, have deposition. You don't become their best friend, in other words. You know, you respect what they're doing there, plus the investigation of the SEC.
Kind of on that same theme, I know that the civil service has its own personnel regulations. Of course, you've gone through the promotion procedures and
right.
that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any impressions of the personnel side of things as far as bureaucratic matters are concerned? I know you had to deal with the secretaries and so forth, so
right.
presumably you had some oversight there.
Personnel, they were very helpful in helping us solve our problems or meeting them, and there were times that, I can't go into that, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But personnel was where we went for assistance. They were there for us to, in hiring, writing job descriptions, and not discriminating against anyone coming in for an interview or setting up. There were certain things that you had to relate to each department that you're dealing with. And most of them, personnel was very helpful. They helped set up, I can't think of the name of it now. Anyway.
No worries.
We had classification and training and that with personnel. And the people were very helpful, the staff, and dealing with issues that would come up that someone would file a complaint and a grievance or something that was tough to handle. They were there to help us determine what was the best thing to do.
How much knowledge at the staff level did you have of things like the various rules and legal procedures that are the bulk of what the SEC does?
Well, I guess in... Would you repeat that for me again?
No problem. So in enforcement, for example, there would be investigations going on. To what extent would you have knowledge of the substance of the investigations, exactly what strategies were in place? In investment mm-hmm. management, there's a separate set of protocols that the right. SEC oversees. And what right. extent would you have knowledge of those, or to what extent would it be more straightforward office work?
Well, this was... mostly straightforward for different positions. I don't know why I'm losing my train of thought. I had something in my mind that we knew that, say, in enforcement, I met some people because I was sitting at the front desk as they came in the room to meet with Stanley Sporkin. And you do not discuss anything. I worked as a secretary and possibly some personnel that you do not divulge any information about a case. You just knew you were it was instilled in you that you do not go out and tell what's going on in any particular case. And see, I didn't really deal with dealing with the personnel or the outside people, outside coming in for meetings. Mm-hmm. I know that we held status that we knew a lot what was going on.
Mm-hmm. You were privy to the details.
Yes, yeah. In some cases. Mm-hmm. But we just knew, we were told, or we just knew. You learned that you don't discuss anything about a case to anyone because this could ruin the whole thing, and you would be fired, of course. But no, you're very. Everyone was very careful, and. Being discreet.
And if I can return to the theme of women in the office, mm-hmm. You mentioned that there had been sexual harassment training. To your knowledge, was there any incidents of that sort of thing? It doesn't sound like it was in the culture
no.
by any means.
No. There, that I can recall, there was never a sexual harassment. It may have been something minor that was not very detrimental to the work or the SEC. So
right.
I don't recall of any there. I think it was at the time when this was coming into recognition in the workplace, and this was when it started, you hearing more and more about harassment. And then the agency then decided we needed to explain. They needed to hold a workshop or a program where they could come in and a speaker would explain what could be. Sexual harassment had so many little different things that somebody could do something and it'd be perfectly normal. But in this program of sexual harassment, it would be very bad. But I really don't recall any sexual harassment cases. I'm sure there were grievances here and there, but nothing that I can recall.
Right. I know that the director of enforcement after Sporkin in the early 1980s was eventually forced to quit because he mistreated his wife. Was there ever any sense that extended to women at the office? Or
I could tell you a few things, but I don't know what you want to hear here.
Well, whatever you feel comfortable telling us about.
I was administrative aide at that time in enforcement, and I recall him. And he was very intimidating. And I felt uncomfortable. He never did anything physically, or he did talk to me once about a personal matter that I thought was none of his business. And he called me to his office, and he started asking me questions, and I said, I don't want to say his name, right?
I mean, it won't be hard to find out, but it doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, he was talking to me about my personal situation. I was divorced. But anyway, he was getting into my private life. And I just politely said, I'm sorry, but I don't think you have a right to question my life and what I do with my life. And I have things to do. And I got up and left. And there were times that he was very demanding, very intimidating. He wanted me to go into the Xerox room and get on my hands and knees and pick up paper clips, you know, paper, what do you call it, staples, mm-hmm. out of the carpet.
That could be, yeah.
And I said, there's no way. I spoke to him. I told him, I'm not getting on my hands and knees or crawling around looking for staples. I will call facilities. They'll send someone up and they will pick them up and clean it up. I want it done right now, he said. Well, I told him, I says, I won't do, I'm sorry, I am not going to do it. And I left. And the next thing I knew, the administrative officer was in there on her hands and knees, picking them up. But I thought that was a little beneath him or me. You know, I was not a facilities cleaning person. They had their job, I had mine. And I just politely told him, no, that's not my job. And I cannot get on my hands and knees and do this. I can call to have it done. So he just went to the administrative officer and I guess threatened her and whatever. But it was very uncomfortable working there at that time. And I was there when he left. And it was really a very sad thing to have to happen, to have this man that had come this far and have his job. And I was friends with his secretary, so I knew a lot that was going on. She just told me certain things as it started developing, you know. But it was hard to get your work done. You know, everybody was on their toes. You know, it's just very unhealthy atmosphere. because of the attitude that he had toward people. And I think he finally, hopefully, overcame that and went on to work somewhere else. But yeah, he was asked to leave.
A real contrast from Stanley Sporkin.
Oh, Stanley Sporkin was the most wonderful human being, the most intelligent administrator, a director. He was totally human, but he was the shining star of enforcement because he was so well respected. He knew the rules, he knew everything. And like I said, he treated you with respect no matter who you were. And we had some fairly big cases, you know, with people coming into his office for meetings. And in fact, I can't name them, but there were famous people or people in the news that came in. And a couple of them, one was a movie star. And it was wonderful. He hung around and just talked, and it was nothing real big. But we met a lot of different types of people, and but Stanley, I believe, was one of the best and best, most respected, knowledgeable. And then after he left the SEC, he became a judge in D.C. And it was like you're walking down the street and I'd be going to lunch and pass him. Hi, kid, how are you? You know, that's the way he was. And it wasn't disrespectful. It was a friendly hi, you know, and that's the way he was.
Did you ever notice any changes in your own work with some of the changes in concentration at the office? Like Stanley Sporkin was known for concentrating on the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And then, of course, in the 1980s, it was insider trading. Mm-hmm. Did that change your work at all when those things became big?
Not to my knowledge, no. I was so much involved with the administrative part of dealing that I guess I may have known what was going on at the time, but it wasn't something that I can just recall.
Okay. You know? And also, once again, returning to the theme of women, of course, you've mentioned Kathy McGrath, and of course, you would have seen over your time there more and more women appearing in the higher echelons of the SEC.
Yes, I did. There were some wonderful. There were also some very, I don't know. There was a director in investment management that was disliked. Now, I had some dealings with her that maybe I had some dislike more than others, but she was a very outspoken person, and I was told that I was trying to get a position posted and trying to get the job description written. And the director of the office, what was associate director, was to give me the paperwork to get it done, tell me what rule of things you wanted this person to do. Well, I was told by this associate director at the time, then she became the director after Kathy McGrath, that if this person that they wanted for that job didn't get that job, she was going to have me fired. And I looked at her and I said, I really don't think that's possible, but it's not my place to have something done. I can't see that this person is selected. She's got to be qualified to be selected. And so that's the office that's developing this, is to see, it's not my job to make sure this person gets the position. And I went to the director And I just told her that I was very upset about what this person had said to me, threatening me. And she just told me, the director, no, she's just going through a hard time. She will not fire you. No one will ever fire you. If you do, if you get fired, it's going to be by me, and you don't have a thing to worry about. But anyway, there were people there that I think just disrespected their staff or thought they were so much better, and they were just very rude but dealing with most of them, they were good. They were very helpful in my position. I had attorneys that I worked with trying to get a report done to give to the director. And some of them, you know, oh, Bev, if you have any problems, you know, let me know. And they would help me decipher what to do. But overall, I think the majority of the employees were hardworking, respectable people. And you're going to have, at times, certain ones that come in and for some reason, they're just not suited. But anyway, I remember enforcement was really the one that impressed me the most with what went on with Stan and the other director. And but anyway, I had a very wonderful experience there at the SEC. I didn't deal with a lot of rules that that I had to be involved in that much, but I tried. I'm sitting there trying to help the whole division through the secretaries and through anything that we went through in moving paperwork, things that you try to keep under control.
Yeah, it sounds as though with the increasing number of women in the higher positions that it's really more dependent on the individual rather than the overarching trends as far as setting the culture of the office is concerned. Would you agree with that?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody has their way, and the women were very strong. And I admired them, most of them. Women and the associate director, all the attorneys, spread out the whole SEC. And on the whole, they were respected. They had this problem with, I don't know if it was a problem, pretty much, but it was about maternity leave. And when that first came about, that the attorney was pregnant, and they worked out some type of there was a rule, you know, about how much time that they can take off the maternity leave. And the men, the husbands, that their wives were pregnant, thought, well, they deserve the same treatment, even though they weren't pregnant. They had to go and do something, you know, fulfill some to their wife or for their wife. And if she has the baby, then he needs some time to be there. And that worked out. They agreed to that, to let the men use, you know, have this time that they can be given, you know, time, maternity. Well, I don't remember what we called it at the time. But yeah, that was something that was worked out. And I think the women, I think pretty much took care of themselves and what they thought needed to be done. And let me have a glass of water.
Certainly.
Also, we had an attorney come in that was blind. I don't know if that's too blunt, but it. And she had her dog, and she needed special equipment. Well, she came into my office and to be introduced to me that I would be helping her set up her office and the the equipment that she would need. She was a delightful woman. Her name was Linda Snyder. And she had her dog. Everybody loved her dog. They respected her and her dog. And we were able to get the equipment that she needed. And so this is the time that new technology was being developed too, with the seeing, what do you call it? Is it seeing impaired or blindness or what?
I don't think there's
any political.
Yeah, I don't think we're stumbling over anything.
No, okay. But she was very capable, very friendly, likable. And believe it or not, I did 5 paintings for her while she was there, and she was blind. But she came into my office and said she heard through different people that I was an artist and that I had paintings in here. And she says, I just feel so wonderful being around your paintings. And this is the way she was, you know. So you help different individuals with different needs, and the SEC was determined, and they saw that it was imperative that we provide the staff with what their needs were, like Linda and other people. And so it was learning to, you know, about different regulations and what can be public, what can't be public, and dealing with the people on the outside. And it was, it helped me, and I appreciated everything that I gained knowledge at the SEC. And, of course, there, like I said, there are certain times that there are some little bad apples that go on or appear, but we resolve it and go on. But it was a wonderful experience, and I wanted to stay longer, but I thought at that time it was time for me to come back to Florida, to my home.
Yeah, why don't we talk a little bit about you personally? I mean, you mentioned, and you mentioned on your bio that you gave us too, that of course your painting career, and that's been your main thing since you've moved back here to Florida.
Right.
You mentioned you did a little bit of modeling as well. Was that before you came to the SEC?
Yes, so in Maryland, yeah. I was modeling, and it was a company that was local, but it involved several states. So I was asked to model at one show, and then it just continued. So I traveled to Newark, Newport News, and Baltimore, and appeared on a TV show with the supervisor being interviewed, the owner. And so that was an interesting part of my life to model. And we modeled at the Shoreham for the cabinet members' wives. And this was the time that I was, or just before, I guess, mostly before the SEC. But then my painting continued through the SEC. And because of them being so open-minded, just let me have my paintings, and people, it was just a rewarding experience. But I did also...
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you paint?
Okay.
And, yeah, how did that develop as a business while you were in D.C.?
In D.C., it had always been my dream to be more involved in painting. I come from a family of artists, from my mother and grandmother on. And so beginning to be more recognized at the SEC, then I continued to, I really wanted to get own my own gallery at one time. So when I retired, moved back, the opportunity came that some property was available in Sarasota, and it was in an artist colony, a little group of buildings in an area that's called Toll's Court Artist Colony. So I bought that corner lot there and had two buildings. So I opened a gallery, and I also had other artists come in and show their work. And I was there 6 years. And it was a wonderful experience because you get out to the public and just keeps growing. And mine did keep growing. So, but I have two daughters also that are artists, and one here in Sarasota, and the other up north. But I do anything. I have always said I would try anything, and if you're not happy with it, you don't have to buy it. And I've never had that happen. But I grew up on Boca Grande Island, south of Sarasota. And it was like a secluded, because there was no bridge when I was growing up. There was a train once a day, and we had a ferry. But I just was just surrounded by all these birds and, foliage. And so I learned by studying books, buying art books. And then I joined Art League. And I joined the Southern Maryland Art League when I was in Maryland. And I won Best of Show with my clown. So I've had these times in my life that's been so rewarding. And so I will do anything. I will paint anything anybody asks me to, within reason, But no, I've been pretty successful at this. And I do birds. I do, in Maryland, I did a lot of Eastern Shore things. And I even had a friend that tore a barn down and made frames for me out of some of the wood. And but it's always been a challenge. And then I learned to do experimental art and water media. And so I've been working in that area a little bit. But more I've done more realism. And but through the SEC gave me such a wonderful experience in being able to advance in my position, advance in my art, and meet wonderful people, and continue on. And what have I done? Oh, I even painted this man. Oh, I can't remember his name now. Anyway, in personnel, he had a daughter that jumped horses, and so he asked me would I paint her picture on her horse jumping. So I did. I went out and I bought a book on horses. I had done them before, but you study them, and. But he was happy. It was he enjoyed it. So it's like my art has just been intermingled with any type of job or work that I've ever done. And I appreciate the SEC in recognizing, that their employees do have talent or another life out there. But and I'm right now, I belong to the Arts and Culture here in Sarasota, and the National League of American Pen Women, which includes art, music, and letters. And that we just came back from a convention in Daytona Beach, and I'm the president of the Sarasota branch. And we're a very busy, professional organization that is wonderful for women of all, when you're professional, you sell, so forth, and you have to be accepted. You must be accepted by the national office, which is in D.C. And so I I guess the SEC has been my biggest employee as far as working out in the work. And that was very rewarding. And I think it gave, recognized that women need to be recognized in positions that they're very successful.
You mentioned the Pin Society before we started. It's mm-hmm. quite an old organization.
Yes, it is. It was founded in, I should have gotten the thing in front of me, but I'll try to remember, but it was organized in 1890s. And because the woman that founded it, husband, belonged to men's clubs, and she was a writer, and she wanted to be included. And so when that wasn't possible, she founded this organization, National League of American Pen Women. And it's, like I said, it's we have a, like, equal in letters and maybe art more than letters and then music. So we have all those areas of professional women working in this all over the United States. And it continued, and like I said, some of the well-known political wives were involved in this and was a member. And so it's been growing and growing through all these years. And we're having a meeting tomorrow, in fact. And we meet once a month in either a yacht club or a restaurant and have programs. We present speakers. And then we have an awards program that one of our patrons, he's passed away this year, that founded an awards, incentive awards for outstanding senior students in art. These are women, art, letters, and music. And every year we give out awards to these young people that are wonderful artists. They write music and books and poems. So that we'll do that in March. We go and have a big luncheon and invite the students there to show and talk about their art. So it's a wonderful organization, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
All right. Well, I think I'll just conclude then by asking whether you've kept in touch with people at the SEC. You left there in 95, was it?
Yes, I have. In fact, I'm Facebook friends with several of them. Nancy Rappa, Debbie Abernathy, mm-hmm. different ones that I do. It's nice to have friends throughout the years that you've shared times with. And I've not met with them or seen them, but we're on Facebook with each other.
It's a great tool.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. It's been a very nice interview.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it.